Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all around the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host and the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me is Chris Logi, and Teresa Sammons will be joining us momentarily. So say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah. So this week's episode is going to be for April 24, 2021. And, well, we actually had some good news happen this week. And it's one of those things where you kind of wish that the very fact that it happened should not necessarily just be a cause of celebration. It should be something that happens fairly regularly. But with the way that our system is so fucked up here, well, yeah. And unfortunately, even though this particular instance ended up with some positive outcomes, it unfortunately didn't mean that the system is not still broken, because we had some other instances of a similar nature happen pretty much as the frickin' verdict was being read. We'll get to that, but obviously it's not all bad. Some good stuff happened on the political front, including a new hate crime bill, a new statehood bill. We'll be talking about that one because that was pretty interesting. And on the environmental front, the government is making pledges to cut, but actually very ambitious plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions by half in the next decade, which is pretty amazing. And we got some science news about NASA and that stuff that's happened up there on Mars. And of course, we got a bunch of entertainment news, including a new Marvel movie and actually some more Marvel-related media for their work on television. We got all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off. Chris, what have you been doing this week?
So the big thing that happened is I got my second shot of the Pfizer vaccine. And the weird thing was just getting there, because it's off the main streets where the Walgreens was at. And so I was in the left turn lane, and this woman was just behind me and just honking at me for whatever reason. And I'm still waiting because there's a bunch of people coming the other way. And she just honks again, just speeds off past me, give me the middle finger, and is going straight. And I'm like, should she think this was a straight lane? What? Mm. And I think she was a stupid idiot that somehow got into a left turn lane expecting me to go when the green light was gone. So that was just a bit of stupidity before the whole shot happened. But yeah, got the second shot. Took a little bit of time because they had a few other people there. So I didn't get mine until about like 15 minutes after my appointment was set. And yeah, got that. And I had to go to work afterwards, so it wasn't too great. So I don't know if the things I was feeling were as a result of the vaccine itself or having to go to work afterwards and do some physical work or whatnot, but I was sweating big time afterwards. Pretty hot, just started peeling off all the layers that I could.
Yeah.
And it wasn't exactly warm. It was like around 50, so it wasn't like oh, it was 60s or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically your immune system going into effect.
Yeah. But yeah, then I just got like worn out more quickly.
Yeah.
During the shift, so I ended up just leaving a bit early.
Yeah. Again, that's your body's kind of focusing on fighting this thing that's in you. So,
yeah.
It's teaming up with your immune system. And again, you know, obviously it's inert, so it's not actually doing anything to you, but the body reacts to it as if it were actually the actual virus. So it's, you know, getting all those defense, you know, it's kickstarting all those defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of the big part of it that day. I had the next day off, so it wasn't too bad there, though. I was just kind of worn out throughout the day. You know, I hadn't really done too much. So, yeah, I was going to do some streaming and ended up just not doing it because I was like, I just have zero energy for this for the day. So that was kind of it for the most part as far as, like, effects from it. So, yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. So, yeah, that'll be nice to have that done. I think still technically you have to, you know, be careful at least for 2 weeks after the shot. Make sure everything goes well. So
basically you have to do what you've already been doing.
Yeah.
For that couple weeks. And then after that, you know, you can start, you know, going and doing stuff you used to do again. So
it's a small price. About the same as what I was doing now.
Already, yeah. But it's a small price to pay.
Yeah.
Compared to what
takes happened. Takes a lot off my mind.
It's a small price to pay compared to what can happen when you actually get the fucking virus. And I mean, we're both young and relatively healthy, so, you know, we're lucky. We, you know, I only got mild symptoms when mine, but it still was not any fun.
Yeah.
Weather-wise,
we had a big snowstorm on Wednesday. So winter decided to come back and kick us in the nuts. Here in the later part of April. Still fairly cold out too. I think today was about 60, so that wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And Teresa just joined us. There we go.
Hey, sorry. I ended up getting a phone call real quick.
It's all right. Well, Chris is just going through his stuff. We'll get to you in a bit. All right.
Yeah.
So continue, Chris.
Yeah. Weather stuff's been weird with the snow and all that. Luckily, I wasn't working. That was the Wednesday I was off. So I was like, all the losers have to deal with it. I can just hang out and do whatever. But yeah, that's been it for that stuff. Since I have HBO Max, I decided to watch a couple of the newest stuff they have on there. Godzilla vs. Kong.
How'd you like it?
I really liked it.
Yeah.
It's very fun for, you know, the sort of thing it's doing, which is a monster movie. Yeah, so obviously versus, you know, Godzilla and Kong, the story stuff, the human stuff is kind of split up between here's the group that's more interested in Kong, and here's the group that's more interested in Godzilla. And the weirdest thing that I had not known about this movie is that it invokes one of the major conspiracy theories of the Hollow Earth.
It's
a key plot point of the whole thing. Still a fun part of it, but it's very much like we have to explain how these creatures somehow exist without people knowing. That was interesting. And then the Godzilla part of the storyline is also about conspiracies, but about the companies kind of fighting these or not fighting the Titans or monitoring them, that kind of stuff. Like, there's stuff going on there that's all weird as hell. There's more creatures that get introduced that are pretty interesting. Some neat stuff there. Pretty fun for the action and all that. But the one sort of downside, it seems, is that they have no idea how to do another movie. they've done the thing. They built up to this over the last, like, 6-7 years, something like that. I was like, what else do we do? So they're kind of at that point with this whole thing. So that's neat. I also watched Mortal Kombat. It just came out yesterday, I think it was.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Some good action. The weird thing is that the main protagonist is not an established Mortal Kombat character.
Oh, and apparently Johnny Cage isn't anywhere in the movie either.
No, they tease that at the end. That's the hey, if we do another one of these, here you go.
Ah.
But yeah, the premise is kind of similar to what the original movie was, where it's, mm-hmm. you know, Earthrealm has lost 9 straight tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
They lose one more, then the Outworld can take over.
Yeah.
But instead of fighting an actual tournament, the Outworld just, like, we'll just send our guys over to just kill them before there's a tournament. And we win by default.
That actually sounds like something Shao Kahn would do.
Yeah. So he has Sub-Zero on his team.
Mm-hmm.
Goro shows up.
Yeah.
Who else? Melina, who doesn't mm-hmm. have her mouth split, her, like, cheeks split. Until later.
Yeah.
So she looks normal for the most mm-hmm. part. What else is there? There's like 2 others that are like very minor characters. Reiko.
Yeah, Reiko from Mortal Kombat 4.
And then I forget what the other one is.
I'm sort of cycling through my Rota note of Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can pull up the wiki real quick.
Yeah, I guess Shang Tsung is in it too.
Yeah, he's leading them.
And I'm guessing is it played by the original, for the actor from the original movie, or is that just exclusive?
I don't think so.
It's not important to look up or anything, just...
Yeah. But... Yeah, there's like, part of this is all, is couched in... Okay, Cabal is the other one.
Yeah, Cabal, okay.
Which is all weird, the way they bring him in.
Mm.
But yeah, they couch this all in the start of with this fight between Hanzo Hasashi,
mm-hmm.
who turns into Scorpion.
Yep.
Fighting this guy named Bi-Han, mm-hmm. who is Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
That is like in like feudal Japan kind of era.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So. He ends up killing Hanzo Hasashi and seemingly all of his family, but managed to hide a baby in the floorboards that Lord Raiden finds mm-hmm. to raise and kind of keep the bloodline. And that's where Cole comes in, mm-hmm. Finds out he's a descendant of Hanzo Hasashi.
Mm.
That kind of stuff. Sonya Blade's in there. And they have the whole thing, like, the people that are picked for the tournament have the, like, dragon mark mm-hmm. on them. Though if you kill a person that has one, you get the mark, so that's a neat little wrinkle. Kano's in it, which they accurately describe in this cast as a loudmouth Australian redneck.
Yeah, that's Kano.
Yeah, he's just kind of an asshole the entire time. There's Jax.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see his arms get ripped off.
Yep.
Frozen and ripped off. And then he gets sort of rebuilt.
Yeah, he gets kind of sort of cyber implants.
Yeah. There's Liu Kang, who's kind of the leader of the group, as well as Kung Lao.
Yep. His I can't remember if his Kung Lao's his adopted brother or half brother or something.
Yeah.
Shaolin, that's the important thing.
Yeah. There's a whole thing, if you have the mark, you can get the Arcana,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a special ability. It's like Liu Kang has his fireball, Kung Lao has his hat.
Yeah.
There's this thing, Kano gets his, and it's the laser eye.
Yep.
Kind of thing. Jax is that his weird arms turn into like the ones you expect.
Mm-hmm.
The big ones, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
The new guy, Cole Young, he kind of just gets this weird suit that kind of lets him take damage, because his whole thing is he's a really shitty MMA fighter. He gets his ass kicked for most of the movie until he gets the suit. Then he can also pull out these, like, kind of like knife, like billy stick kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how it like grows out of the suit. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
The story is very stupid, because essentially it's just like, oh, this tournament, we got to get ready for this tournament. and the tournament never happens.
Yeah.
Fight beforehand.
Yeah, it's kind of the basic plot of the original Mortal Kombat, but changed for the fact that the tournament never fucking happens.
Yeah, because the Outworld just wants to take out the other Earthrealm before you know, the tournament happens, so they can win by default.
Yep.
And so they go and try and do that, and it doesn't work out.
No, it blows up in their faces.
Yeah. And at the end, it's like, hey, here's a poster for Johnny Cage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's a pretty good movie. Probably on par with the original. Some really good action in there. None of the fights are amazing, but a lot of them are pretty good, though.
And I guess the real thing that it has over the original movie is they're not trying to take an M-rated franchise and shove it into a PG-13.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of cursing, blood, gore, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Use a number of the fatalities, and some of the characters actually say, like, fatality or flawless victory. That's weird.
Yeah.
The sort of ultimate fight at the end is pretty well done between Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is that. It's worth checking out if you have HBO Max. So that is that movie's pretty good. I hope they do a second one, so you can actually kind of delve more into the lore and have like a better story.
Yeah.
To it.
If they're going by like, you know, the rules of the original series, then they'll probably be going into Outworld for the the second one. So I guess we'll see.
And we should have Johnny Cage, which seems like it should be probably the Miz from the WWE.
Yeah.
He's also been campaigning for that role from the past couple days.
So yeah.
He wants it.
Yeah.
Because that's his whole thing in the WWE, is he's the Hollywood superstar kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was pretty good for that stuff. I've been playing more MLB The Show 21. Mm-hmm. Still liking it a lot. Haven't played as much in the past couple days, but the big thing that happened is once it's released wide for everybody that had the standard edition, the servers took a big shit, because it wasn't just wasn't ready for the rush of people trying to get on.
Mm.
And they've been still dealing with some outages here and there. It's been pretty good for me for the most part, but there's been a couple times where you can definitely tell like when the servers are getting stressed. So yeah, like the thing they just announced is like they're doing double XP for this weekend. They said that while they're, you know, working on getting these servers right, they're just going to keep double XP on for the foreseeable future. So that's can be good for people trying to do progression in other modes and such. So yeah, that's been fun, and also been playing the game called There Is No Game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the subtitle's like, I forget something else. I don't remember what the subtitle is, but the game itself is a pretty fun adventure game where you're kind of just fucking around with this narrator that is constantly trying to throw obstacles in your way to keep you from finding the game. All the while he's trying to, you know, explain to you, like, there is no game here. Don't be expecting a game. But please also don't do a refund. we're a small studio. You know, this is a small project. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Which I got to the point of where the narrator crashes the game. So you get knocked down to like a dash or a desktop kind of thing. And then there's puzzles built into that whole thing. That's pretty well done. And then sort of he ends up crashing that as well, to the point that it goes into like an Indian version of the same game that you've been doing.
Is this about a year or two old?
It came out about the start of the pandemic.
Yep.
Last year.
Yeah, and it's kind of just, it's one of those things that's kind of been spreading through word of mouth, more or less.
Yeah.
And it just released on the Switch last week, I think. So yeah, that's been... Yeah, and so then you got the Indian narrator as well as the original narrators got like kind of a Russian accent or something like that to them. So then they're like, what are you doing in my game? I mean, my non-game. You know, that kind of stuff. That is pretty fun. So yeah, that's been largely it. I started streaming Ratchet & Clank Future Tools of Destruction last night since we didn't have a show. I was going to stream that tonight, so ended up starting it yesterday and still liking that game a lot. The major issue is that there's no brightness settings and some of the areas they throw you into are pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just hard to kind of see what's going on in the game at times. So that's not especially great, but it's nice to be on a more powerful system. Looks a lot better. Like Ratchet actually has like fur on him. That kind of stuff. So that's been fun. I'm going to be streaming that some more tomorrow. But that's pretty much it for me. How about you, Teresa?
Yeah, how about you, Teresa?
Well, some of what I've been doing is the same stuff I've been doing because it takes a while. We're still going through Bob's Burgers. We're pretty close to current, but we have more left. We did get current with Dairy Girls, which is hysterical. But I don't think that that's something for everybody. It's not going to be a universal hit. People who like, you know, stuff from across the pond, they're going to get into it. We are still watching Dragon Ball. Still, Piccolo is there now. So, yeah, that's all happening. Master Roshi appears to be dead. Yeah, but you know, I mean, I watch Z, so okay.
Nobody actually dies in Dragon Ball. That's just
You know, they just get resurrected, so
yeah.
So we actually played Mario Party the other night and had some fun with that. It's whatever the latest one is. I don't remember. I don't remember. 9, maybe? Something like that. And then I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns. They have a new free expansion that dropped Trade Lands. And it is Challenge Islands with co-op play. So it's not just single player. Which is pretty cool. I mean, you know, considering everything. And that is actually something that, I guess now that it's out, I can talk about it. I did, Game Breaker for that, for Raw Fury. And that was fun. I enjoyed having, early access to the game and, you know, letting them know what bugs I found. One of them was kind of cool. You'd be playing on the stag mount and, you'd use, one of the kind of teleport, the little portals to teleport back and forth across the screen. And the antlers would just kind of go across the screen without you. So the stag's antlers kind of went zoo, but I have not seen that. So I do believe that they have fixed that. And a couple of other things like, anyway, it didn't matter, but it was really cool to do that. I've also been playing Civ 6 and I wonder why that thing makes my iPad chug through its battery. But it's, you know, it's nice to play it on a kind of portable screen, so it can go with me when I'm fooling around. Earlier, Pat and I were playing Phantasy Star Online 2, and we did the kind of the big challenge thing, the shipwide emergency that's popular right now. They change them up, which is cool. So you don't get bored. And they have a new kind of mini movie out that their community managers put together. And it's anime style. And it's really kind of cute. If you guys get a chance to like see if anybody's posted it on Twitch or YouTube, it's kind of funny. Because it's a couple of people who are players who don't know each other in real life. And they're making wild guesses about who they are in real life. And both of them are hysterically wrong about each other. So it's kind of interesting. I think that they're going to continue with that. It's not necessarily left on a cliffhanger, but, you know. And then last week, we found out that one of our local podcasting friends was in hospice. And we had heard that he was sick and, you know, talked to him a little bit because we did like a dinner night on Zoom. And, you know, he wasn't feeling well, but we didn't know what was going on. And then we found out and he did pass away. And so we went to his funeral. And I got to tell you guys, cancer is just the biggest pain in the ass. Just the biggest. So it was really sad to lose one of our local podcasting friends. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure you guys have had people that you've played games with online and lost a buddy or two.
Yeah.
You know, it just always sucks. I mean, yeah. And especially when they're younger than they should be, you know, people aren't supposed to die when they're supposed to, you know, still be living life pretty large and everything. So that kind of sucked, but he was in immense amounts of pain. I'm glad that he's not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you do? So we've been a little preoccupied lately. Mm-hmm. And we did the funeral yesterday, and it's the first funeral that we've done. Although it was not the first wake that we went to. We went to his wife's wake not more than two and a half months ago, because she just randomly died in her sleep a week after her 51st birthday. What the hell? You know?
Mm-hmm.
There are no answers to any of this stuff, so you just go on.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of is. But still, you know? What the hell? So, mm-hmm. I did have my second shot, my second COVID shot. And this time I had a little more of a reaction than last time. Last time, I think I told you guys, I coughed for like 2 or 3 days and then I had a sore throat for one day and then it was over.
Yeah.
It was done. And I had the Pfizer vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So this time, about a day and a half afterwards, my lymph nodes under my arms swelled up.
Oh, Lord.
Like, yeah. Because the body's like, what the hell? You know, here's something going on.
Yeah,
basically,
it's your immune system reacting to the inert virus in you.
Yeah, yeah. And it decided to go ahead and activate another lovely virus. So I got a cold sore on my nose.
Ah.
Didn't appreciate that. Took care of that real quick with a prescription because I don't mess around with those things. Life's too short to be doing that stuff. And had a decidedly female reaction that I'll just leave it right there. I will say that for one of my friends, she was 2 weeks shy of starting menopause. That's 12 years with nothing going on.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, 12 months with nothing going on. She got her fucking vaccine. And she broke her streak.
Damn.
Uh-huh. Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard of interesting reactions, whether it's chest tenderness or whatever, that there's a few little factors there. So but you know, I didn't have a fever. I was pretty good. I thought it went over really well. And did I tell you guys that I thought that the 12 to 16 age group, 12 through 15, were going to get, I need more batteries, by the way. We're playing Trade Lands. Mm-hmm. And my controller went dead. I may have mentioned that, you know, they were pushing through the emergency order. And Brandon, I think you're the one who told me, well, that's how we got it without longer trials and stuff. And I did hear unofficially from someone who sat in on a Cook County, that's the county that has Chicago, on a Cook County Health Department meeting Friday, that my kids' age group should be getting their vaccine approved in May.
Yep.
So, oh my God. Like, the water park at Six Flags, Great America, here we come.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good news. It's good news. A lot of people are getting their shots, but, you know, a lot of them are still pains in the asses and aren't going to get their shots.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what can we do about that?
Well, I'll tell you what we can do. We can just straight up tackle them in the goddamn street and inject them with it. That's what we can do. But,
yeah, just like dark guns.
Yeah.
Can we get a point system? And like after we get maybe 25 people with the little blow darts, we get a free video game.
That'd be nice.
They could absolutely incentivize this. Gun,
and you put the vaccine dart, and then you tag them on the ears.
I like this. Can we make this into a little indie game?
And they wake up in the morning and they look in the mirror and they're like, the fuck? What is mutual? Oh, what the fuck is this shit?
Why do I look like cattle?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
But that's about it for me. Brandon, what's been going on with you?
All right. Well, first big thing, I finished Disco Elysium, the final cut, and my review is done and should be showing up on SmashPad.com in the next couple of days. That game is very difficult to try and talk about in a good enough in a review without spoiling so much shit, because so much of the fun of that game is letting the shit happen at its own pace. I think I did a good job of explaining it. I
think so as well. I tried, it's really hard to edit because I tried to read without reading. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Anyway, now that I'm done with that, I went Friday and got Nier Replicant version something 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 something. I'm not even gonna try and
It's the one that just came out.
So for those who don't know, Nier Replicant is a kind of a remaster, kind of a remake of the original Nier that came out back in, I think it was 2011, 2012, somewhere in that ballpark. Originally for the, I think it was for PS3 and Xbox 360. And there were two versions of the original Nier that came out. There was the one that came out over in Japan, and there was the one that came out over here in the U.S., and the big difference between these two was in the overall character design of the main character. In the Japanese one, the character you play is a young gentleman, like your typical Bishonen protagonist. Whereas the one you got over in the U.S. was a gruff, middle-aged father. And essentially, the relationship between you and Yona, who was the little girl that you were trying to protect in the Japanese one, you're her older brother. In the American one, you're her father. And Nier Replicant is basically the remake remaster of the Japanese one, but now it's over here. It's fully voiced. They managed to get some of the original voice actors back to do them. The combat has been largely revamped and has essentially, they've adapted the combat system from Nier Automata to Nier Replicant with pretty much without issue. I accidentally knocked the headphone thing out of the jack. Anyway, as I was saying, combat system is very intuitive. They've largely adapted the one from Nier Automata to it. Let's see. The like it's got it, you know, the original soundtrack, which is amazing. They basically went back and enhanced it, so it sounds as amazing, if not better, than it did originally. Much as the case with Nier Automata, Nier is dark as fuck, even though it doesn't really seem like it at first. Just as was the case with Nier Automata, it has kind of a... I don't want to necessarily say a kind of cliche kind of thing, but it's a very comfortable opening. Like, you have an idea of, like, the type of game you're playing. You're, all right, this is like a fantasy. It's sort of like in a post-apocalyptic. I'm a young kid. I'm doing odd jobs around town. You know, stuff like that. But the game actually does not open with that. It actually opens, just as was the case with the original Nier, it opens with an area that seems completely unaffiliated with what the majority of the game takes place in. Now, it is there for a reason. There is a narrative reason why it's there, and it will explain it. But much as is the case with Nier Automata, this is one of those games where you have to play through the game multiple times in order to get the entire story. In fact, Nier Automata, well, I say Nier Automata, actually Drakengard, which is like the first game of this entire fucking oeuvre that Yoko Taro has started, that game was actually the first game to start doing this. But it's especially true with Nier because much as what happens with Nier Automata, the game world opens up once you start getting other other viewpoints and other ways that other people see your actions. And let me just put it this way. The original Nier is usually said to be the JRPG variant of Spec Ops The Line, and I'm just going to leave it there. other than that, doing more books, YA books particularly. I got Mary Lou's Sky Hunter, which is one of her more recent books, and quite enjoying it so far. If anybody ever asks me, like, what is the, like, one YA, you know, young adult author who writes science fiction and fantasy books that aren't overly saccharine, you know, substanceless garbage. It's Mary Lou. She writes amazing YA science fiction and fantasy. Her Legend series in particular, because when I was first exposed to it, you know, that was right around the time when, you know, the Hunger Games was like the big deal. And so pretty much every YA author out there was trying to put out, you know, YA dystopian fiction. She ended up writing something that was legit, like, good and had substance and basically just knocked it out of the park. So Sky Hunter, yeah, definitely recommend it. I'm going back to my guitar again. I don't know why, but for the last few days, I've had this urge to me saying, you should write a musical. I don't know why.
Oh.
But the muse is saying, you should write a musical. And I have no fucking idea where that's going to take me, but I guess we'll see.
Huh.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's about it. So, anything we want to add before we move on?
Nah.
Nah? Okay. Well, then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight, I want to ask both you and Chris a question. Do you like water parks?
Yes. To a degree.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, when you're thinking water parks, you're thinking stuff like, you mentioned Six Flags earlier, right?
I certainly did, yes.
Yeah. So it's relatively, let's be honest. On the surface, Water parks are one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go there to have fun at my own risk.
That's absolutely true.
Because, let's be honest, there ain't enough chlorine in the world that's going to keep that place from not being a breeding ground of brain-eating algae and bacteria. And that's just the pools. You know, the water. That's not mentioning those fucking water slides.
True.
Which, if they're well made, oh, maybe you won't, you know, tear a hole in your gooch as you're whooshing down them at like 10 miles an hour. And if you're lucky, you won't have someone coming up behind you when you land, landing right on fucking top of you, as has happened to me once or twice when I was younger. But
that is a hazard.
Yeah. But here's a question. Say you were a kid, and you said, we're going to go to a water park. And he's like, eh, it's all right, I can go have a water park. It's like, oh, dude, here's the best part. There are fucking no rules. Wait, what do you mean?
Somebody's going to die.
There are no rules, dude. Like, the only people they hire there are, like, stone teenagers and, like, you know, if outside of like the water, it's just nothing but a drug and fuck fest, like everywhere. Now, let's be honest. If you heard that as a kid, would you go?
As long as I was over the age of 12, hell yeah.
Yeah, same with me. I mean, if you told me this shit when I was like a sophomore in high school, I'd be, you know, when I was young and thinner. Yeah, I would be right on that shit. Fuck yeah, I get to go down some water slides and I can get high and I can just maybe get laid. It's like, fuck yeah. And that place did exist. Oh, it existed. Oh yeah, it existed.
And I'm gonna guess it was in the US.
Oh, it was in the US, all right. And okay. For a whole generation of young people in the Northeast, It was a rite of passage. A
New Jersey? Passage.
Yes, it was New Jersey.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm talking about, aren't
you? No, I have no idea. I was just guessing based on stereotypes.
The myth, the legend, the place where you got scars, but you came back again. The place where, quote, you're the center of the action. The legendary Vermont Vernon Township, New Jersey institution that was Action Park.
They called it that.
Yes. Oh, now, God. If you're somebody who lived in the Northeast, especially around the New York, New Jersey area, I really don't have to tell you anything because there's a pretty good chance you went to Action Park at some point as a young person between, you know, the 80s to early 90s. Well, let me see. It was like if you grew up there from 1978 into 1996, this was like a rite of passage. It was one of those things that every young person had to go do at some point in their life. Because you got to remember, specifically because of where Action Park was located, that meant for the vast majority of young people who lived in a major metropolitan area, this was pretty much the only water park that they could actually go to. And on top of that, it was cheap. So, you know, kids who normally could not afford to go to like other big places for vacation, they could afford to go to Action Park. And as for its reputation, well, other than Action Park, it was also known as Accident Park, Traction Park, Class Action Park. There's actually a documentary about Action Park that is called Class Action Park. It was founded by a guy by the name of, fuck, what was his name? By, let's see, I had it up here just a second ago. I think it was Eugene Mulville. I think that's what his name was. There might have been another dude. Thing is, this guy was one of those people who was like, yeah, how can I squeeze out as much profit with as little concern for personal safety as I can possibly do? And he fucking pulled it off. Back in the 1980s, It entertained over 1 million visitors per year. And during its busiest weekends, it would get as many as 12,000 people coming. When someone once asked the director of a nearby hospital, like the emergency room, he would say that he would end up treating 5 to 10 victims of park accidents on some of the busiest days. And the park eventually bought the township of Vernon extra ambulances just to keep up with the volume.
Oh my God.
It pretty much hired only like stony teenagers, and their job duties were vaguely defined at best, which meant most of the time they were usually off smoking pot and getting laid.
Oh my God.
Pretty much like a lot of the other young people who went to Action Park. They went off smoking, drinking, and getting laid. But as people mentioned, yes, the rides and the attractions there were so, they weren't necessarily shoddily made, but they weren't really made with any intention of being as safe as possible.
Yeah. I'm looking at a few of them.
Yeah, okay. So the thing you need to know about Action Park is it was essentially divided into 3 distinct areas. There was the Alpine Center, Motor World, and Water World. Alpine Center was essentially this enormous, It was like an enormous, kind of like a mountainside that was loaded with like chutes and slides and stuff like that. Probably the most infamous, there was also a skateboard park, a whippersnapper, which was like a bungee jumping tower. There was a monorail. There was also something called the Action Park Gladiator Challenge, which was basically like an obstacle course that was basically like American Gladiators. But probably the most infamous attraction there was something called the Alpine Slide, which was a 2,700-foot-long alpine slide, which was basically like a slide made out of concrete, fiberglass, and asbestos.
Okay.
And the sleds that you went down on this thing were basically, they looked like plastic flotation devices with little brake handles that rarely ever fucking worked. And it usually ended up leaving the people dealing with like serious abrasions and lacerations from taking mild falls. The fact that a lot of times the cast were riding in bathing suits made the problem worse. They did not tend to wait long enough until they knew that one guest had made it to the end of the slide until the next person then went.
Oh my God.
So yeah, if you were going a little too slow for someone behind you, they just go, bam. Oh
my God.
Oh yeah. Then there was Motor World, and that place had a lot of kind of stuff that you would expect from a Motor World. There's go-karts. There was Lola cars, which were, you know, open cockpit race cars on a longer track. Then there was probably one of the most famous, which was the Battle Action Tanks, which were essentially go-karts that were designed to vaguely look like tanks that had like little cannons at the end of them that shot like tennis balls. And there was a sensor on the sides of the battle tanks that if you got hit with a tennis ball, it would essentially immobilize the tank for about, I think, like 15, 30 seconds. Also, if you were on the outside but weren't quite in, either didn't want to go in the battle tanks, or if you were just in line and still waiting to get there, they had a bunch of less costly cannons mounted on the perimeter that you could use. And it was also one of the least popular places for people to work at the park because every so often the sensors and the battle tanks would malfunction, meaning that somebody had to run out there to either restart them or drag them off the course. And wouldn't you know it, all the other people in the battle tanks and with the cans would just start shooting tennis balls at the guy running out there to...
I mean, right?
As for like watercraft rides, they had speedboats set up in a small pond that was infested with snakes. And you could not increase their speed or anything, but people would use them to play bumper boats, and one guy who was really intoxicated had to be rescued by the attendant after his boat capsized following a collision. There was also the bumper boats, which actually were like bumper boats specifically made for bumpering, but they also leaked gasoline.
Oh, nice.
And one dude had to get medical attention because he got too much of it on his skin. Also, the things were designed for people of medium to regular height. So if you were tall, you would not be able to fit your legs in. So you just hung your legs on the other side. And as you can imagine, shit got broke.
Well, yeah, that's a bit of a problem right there.
Yeah. And then there were the air rides, which was, let's see, there was a space shot, which was a tower drop. There was also the slingshot, which... You guys are you've been to Six Flags, so you know what the slingshot is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, fairly common. Then we get to Water World. And probably the most infamous thing at the Water World that everybody remembers, even it's so infamous that it only opened for brief periods. Like it was literally only of like around for to be used for like a couple of months at a time. Something called the Cannonball Loop.
That's the one I saw, isn't it?
Yep, it's a enclosed water slide with a 360 degree vertical loop at the end of it.
Yeah, it looks like one of those Ricola, you know, blow into them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
But with a loop at the bottom of the freaking mountain or whatever.
Yeah. They apparently had to offer $100 to employees to test the thing. And when they sent down, like, test dummies to do it, they would end up dismembered and decapitated at the bottom.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's probably the one attraction that racked up most injuries in the short amount of time it existed.
I mean, it doesn't look like it's compatible with human anatomy at all.
Well, it also, just physics don't fucking work that way.
No.
I mean, even if this thing worked perfectly, the centrifugal force is still going to send you shooting out at the under end on a far too small area.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if the centrifugal forces don't work properly, as soon as you, if you even manage to get the top of the loop, you're not going to stay up there for more than maybe a quarter of a second before you end up going, bam, right on the bottom. But funny thing is, even though it was only in use for like a couple months, they never actually took it down until after the park closed. It was just sort of a landmark. That people used. Let's see, what else was there? There was the tidal wave pool, which was especially notorious because it's the first place in Action Park where someone actually died. So like you know how a tidal wave pool works, right?
Oh yeah, and they can be pretty damn scary.
Oh yeah, especially. And yeah. It became notorious among people who worked at Action Park as the Grave Pool. It was 100 feet wide by 250 feet long and could hold about 500 to 1,000 people total. The waves would be generated for about 20 minutes at a time with 10-minute intervals between them and could only reach as much as 40 inches.
That's kind of big, though, actually.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. The pool depth increased as one got closer to the far end.
Yeah.
And
so you get sucked under and you stay under.
Yeah, and also remember, a lot of people were usually high.
Yeah.
This place had like the most lifeguards on duty at any given time, like 12.
That's still not enough.
Yeah, there was also the Aqua Scoot, which wherein a rider would carry a hard, solid plastic slab up to the top of the ride, go down a slide consisting of rollers, akin to those found in factories, warehouses, or assembly lines, and end up in a pool that in most areas was no deeper than a puddle.
Oh, jeez.
There was the Kamikaze, which was a tamer water slide near the Geronimo slides. We'll get to that one. Riders could lie on their backs with their arms and legs crossed and go down a chute, which pitched steeply at first and then went up and down several times before ending in a pool. Fairly standard. There was the kayak experience, which was an imitation whitewater course. And this is like, have you ever been to one of those water parks where it's like just the floater river or whatever you call it? Lazy River. A lot of times in parks, those things don't go deep enough, and I can't tell you how many times I almost tore a hole in my gooch going down one of those things.
Yeah, you always end up with big scrapes on your feet. And man, I am short on your knees. Anything from the thighs down, you're going to get all scraped up on the Lazy River. That's just how it goes.
This is one of those, except it was a kayak. It was kayaks, and it was trying to imitate whitewater. Usually got stuck or tipped over, and people had to get out of them to remedy the situation. In 1982, a man died after trying to get back on his kayak and touching the wiring of the electric fans, sending him into cardiac arrest and leading to its permanent closure.
Oh, wow.
There was also a whitewater ride that was raft-based, Roaring Rapids. Reports that the park filed with the state in 1984 noted fractured femurs, collarbones, and noses. Dislocated knees and shoulders. Probably one of the most famous of these in the water park, other than, well, famous and infamous, was the Tarzan swing. This was a steel arch hanging from a 20-foot-long cable over a pool that was fed by a nearby spring. And you saw this thing a lot in action parks advertising, like commercials and stuff. Patrons waited in long lines for the chance to hang from it, swing out over the water, then jump off as the beam reached its height. In the park's early years, the area patrons jumped off from was not over the water, but a cushioned area. Some people who let go as soon as they started their swing could land on the cushion and then slide slash crash into the water. In the mid-80s, the starting position was shifted so that position started over the water. Some patrons hung on too long and scraped their toes on the concrete. Others used the ride properly, but were then surprised to find out the water underneath was very cold, because, again, it's fed from a local spring.
Oh, God, right? No problem with cramps there, I'm sure.
It was cold enough, in fact, the lifeguards sometimes had to rescue people who were so surprised by the sudden chill that they could not swim out of the pool. In 1984, one man died from a heart attack after experiencing the swing. Let's see, what else? We had the diving cliffs, which is exactly what it fucking sounds like.
Yeah. How long were they in business now? It was more than 3 months, right?
Oh, they were in business from, I think it was 1978 to 1996.
Oh, my God.
Now, I mentioned the diving cliffs. The diving cliffs were not blocked off from those who might be swimming in or away from other attractions. So, guess what tended to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was also an erodium, which is, you know, one of those skydiving simulator wind tunnels.
Yeah.
There was also the Colorado River slide. It was crafted to look like a natural riverbed with jets in the bed at various points, adding to the rapid roughness. You know, pretty standard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you're thinking all this shit is like, okay, so what exactly was it about Action Park that just contributed to all this shit? Like, this is something that should not. Yeah, you would think, like, this thing could only be in business for, like, maybe a few months. No, like I said earlier, no, they were in business from 1978 to 1996. So, I mean, that's almost 20 years.
Okay, so was the owner, like, brother-in-laws with the local mayor or judges or,
well,
or business licensing people? Is there cronyism going on here?
Well, I'll talk about it a little bit. Okay. Factors contributing to the park's safety record. Well, one of the obvious ones, of course, was ride design.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about Action Park. As relatively dangerous as it seems, It was also a pioneer in a lot of ways, and a lot of water parks around the world, around the country and around the world would actually copy some of these ideas. So again, like, they were one of the first people to do one of those tidal wave pools, you know. Mm-hmm. They were one of the first places to do those alpine slides or stuff like that. But here's the thing. Because Action Park ended up pioneering all this stuff, that means that a lot of this shit had never gone through any extensive testing. And a lot of the designers had little to no training in physics or engineering. It would eventually start cutting corners to maximize its profits. It was accused of building rides cheaply, maintaining them sporadically. Let's see. And, of course, I talked about the employees. The vast majority of the workers there were teenagers. Most were underage, undertrained, and often under the influence of alcohol and generally cared little for enforcing park rules. And height and waist-based restrictions were often ignored. So, like I said, basically, the park had no rules.
Yeah.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, since it was closer and slightly cheaper than, you know, some other places like Six Flags Great Adventure, for example, a lot of urban people from, you know, the New York metropolitan area tended to go there. Most of them were lower income. Few had any opportunity to swim, much less learn how. You can kind of know where this is going.
Yeah.
Park gravely overestimated these abilities, and this was a factor in many accidents as well as the drownings. The staff's indifference to many of the park's own rules led to a similarly lawless culture among visitors who generally liked the high level of control they had over their experience. Accidents were usually deemed by the park employees to be the fault of the riders. Did I mention that this place actually had a brewery and had alcohol sold on grounds? Yeah, I probably should have brought that up.
Maybe.
They didn't really enforce the drinking age all that much.
My God.
And as for law, regulatory climate, that kind of thing, the park was only fined once in its existence. Yeah, it was also unique in that department in that all other amusement parks were fined for first offenses except Action Park. It asked if there were some sort of special regulation between GAR and state. GRR is the parent company that ran Action Park. Some of the state's regulations failed to adequately address the situation after the drowning in 1987. It was reported that the tidal wave pool was considered a pool by the state, not a ride. So under state regulations at the time, that meant that the company merely had to keep the water clean and make sure that certain lifeguards were on duty. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, so how many people actually died at Action Park?
Yeah.
Six. Six people died at Action Park. The first one happened in 1980. That was, like I mentioned earlier, that was the Alpine slide. First thing to kill him. Then there, of course, there was 1982. 15-year-old boy drowned in the tidal wave pool, 1982. Later that, literally not even later that same year, the next month, like within the next 3 weeks, a 27-year-old man from Long Island tipped off of his kayak and suffered cardiac arrest. I already talked about that one. Fatal heart attack suffered by one visitor in 1984. Then that same year, a 20-year-old from Brooklyn drowned in the tidal wave pool. And then 1987, an 18-year-old drowned in the tidal wave pool. So, six people. Basically, if you're Generation X and you grew up in that area, you went to Action Park once. And you may have gotten injured, but it was like a fucking, it was like a badge of honor. Now,
yeah,
you're probably wondering, okay, so how the hell did they manage to get away with all this shit? Yeah, a couple of things. One of them is that you're probably thinking, okay, how the fuck did they even get this place insured?
That's, yeah, I do wonder that.
You want to know how they got insured?
How?
Eugene Mulville, the guy I talked about earlier that founded the place.
Yeah.
He founded his own insurance firm.
Okay. Yep. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he literally founded his own insurance firm specifically to insure his own water park. Now here's something you're really going to love. Remember how I said the place was closed down in 1996?
Mm-hmm.
It reopened in 2016.
Okay.
It's definitely a little safer than it was previously. Whether or not you can get away with the shit that you used to get back in the old days, I don't know.
Oh my god. That's just crazy, though, that they reopened it.
Mm-hmm. And, they actually used the Action Park name for a little while, then they retired it to, and then started using Mountain Creek Water Park, which was actually the original name of the park before Mulville bought the place. So, yeah, Action Park faded off into myth and legend. Now, let's be honest. Knowing all of this that I told you, if you were a teenager and you were living in the area, would you still go?
Yep.
Yeah, me too.
If I were today's teenager, maybe not. But a teenager in that era, as I was.
Fuck, if I was a teenager as when I was a teenager in the 2000s, early 2000s, fuck yeah, I'd go. So yeah, that was Action Park. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Wow.
Yeah. And for anybody who's curious, see the documentary Class Action Park. It's, I believe it's on Amazon. But anyway. All right. Now, moving on from there to the show proper. We always start off, as always, with the assholes of the week. And our biggest asshole of the week is former officer Derek Chauvin, who was found guilty on all three counts this week.
Yep.
In the George Floyd.
Are you guys shocked that it actually turned out that way? I mean, you'd think that it definitely would, but not the world we've been living in lately.
No, I am definitely going to tell you that I was had my fingers crossed there.
Yeah.
But yes, he was found guilty on all three counts, and sentencing is going to begin in 2 months.
Yep.
At minimum, he's kind of looking at like 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, the max is going to be pretty much the rest of his life.
Yeah. And if you watched the footage of as the sentencing was being read, looking at his eyes, you can't quite tell if he's like, I cannot fucking believe this is happening, or I am desperately trying not to look into the camera.
Yeah.
Yep. So
yeah. That is good, but as I said at the top of the show, this is something that you shouldn't have to celebrate. This should be something that should happen as the norm for this type of shit. But because of the system we live in, this little bit of actual standard justice seems like an overwhelming victory. It's unfortunately not solved anything, and the system is still broken because this week we also got other cop bullshit. A teenage girl was shot dead by a cop in Columbus during a knife fight with another girl.
Yeah, this was unfortunate. This happened basically right around the same time the verdict was being read.
Yeah.
The Chauvin trial. Mm-hmm. The girl that got shot is the one who was being threatened just outside of her home, called the police.
Yep.
To help her, grabbed a knife because the other girl had one, trying to defend herself. I don't know why she didn't just stay inside, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They released the footage, and it was like 15 seconds from the cop getting out of his car to shooting the mm-hmm. girl. And it's just like, there really should have been some other way that could have been mm-hmm. handled.
Mm-hmm.
Even ridiculous suggestions like taser.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I don't know, but this one seems like it's going to be harder to pin on the cop as like an unreasonable thing, like any sort of charges.
Yeah. Yeah. And in some kind of good news, there was a cop in Norfolk, Virginia, who got fired after people discovered that he had donated to Kyle Rittenhouse's fundraiser.
Yeah. One of the cops that has been identified and investigated.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they fired him on Tuesday. The recommendation of the Norfolk Police Chief Larry D. Boone.
Mm-hmm.
Saying I've reviewed the results of the internal investigation involving Lieutenant William Kelly, Chief Larry Boone, and I have concluded Lieutenant Kelly's actions are in violation of the city and departmental policies. His egregious comments erode the trust between the Norfolk Police Department and those they are sworn to serve. The city of Norfolk has the standard behavior for all employees. We will hold staff accountable.
Mm.
Yeah, he had made a comment. Let's see if they have a... I don't think it's in here. But based on something like, you know, along the lines, a lot of these comments are like, stay strong, you know, we're all behind you, that kind of thing. Mm. Not really what you want to do when you're talking about a kid who murdered two people.
Yeah. On video.
Yeah. And use your work email for this.
Yeah. But, next up, so this also happened. A bunch of rich, bougie bourgeois owners of various soccer teams in Europe, they decided they wanted to form a Super League to make more money, and it all fell apart in two fucking days.
Yeah, this was a huge thing that happened in Europe. Essentially, if like the top teams like the NFL decided, well, fuck the NFL, we're going to create our own league with, you know, I think it was with 12 of the top teams in Europe. And like, hey, we're going to make all the money for ourselves. Make us even richer. So Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United, and Tottenham Hotspur, the big six English teams.
Mm-hmm.
Also adding Spain's Real Madrid, Barcelona, and the Italian trio of AC Milan, Inter Milan and Juventus, as well as I think an Israeli team was the 12th team there. But yeah, it's most of the teams basically stepped down from the league within 2 days, and then they just basically say like, yeah, this, because like none of the players were consulted on this, none of the coaches. Basically, nobody that was below the owners' level on the teams were basically consulted on this.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the NFL announcing their like $100 billion TV deal was kind of a big influence on this. As they're like, well, soccer is even more popular than the NFL. We should be able to get this kind of money from everybody from this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's true, but also the NFL is focused in one country.
Yeah. And
they can more exploit the range of networks and all this involved.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, dealing with that across, you know, several countries here, it's probably a bit tougher. And they got some fun tweets here. The Men in Blazers account saying, for centuries, Spurs fans will talk fondly of the 2 days they were members of the Super League.
Mm-hmm.
Treasure memory that will be passed down generation to generation. It's like they're one of like the smaller teams in England that has a loyal following, but they have never really had success in a long time.
Yeah,
so like them being included in this is like one of those things. Like, we needed somebody else here. This team, but yeah, here's one that's comparing this to the RuPaul's Drag Show. Anyone confused by the football drama, it's like Ross Matthews launching a drag show and Rue saying anyone in that competition can't be on All Stars. Because the other part of the thing is like they were going to be like, oh, we're going to still play in our domestic leagues as well as the Super League. And then the FIFA and UEFA that were running those leagues are like, if you're in this Super League, you're not playing in the domestic leagues anymore. You're barred from that stuff and the championships and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Twitch, obviously the players are like, what the fuck is going on? We did not sign up for this. And it's great to see billionaires getting shown up. Also, they have like a this fun little tweet is a Ted Lasso joke. Mm-hmm. You're saying, now where I come from, you don't become super just by calling yourself the Super League. Those are super who's earned, except for Superman. I guess he was sort of super from the jump, wasn't he? So, yeah.
And finally, for our assholes of the week, I've talked about a little thing known as Tannerite before. It's a explosive that can only be ignited by a by the bullet of a long gun. Can't shoot it with a pistol or a shotgun. Expect it to go off. It's also not flammable. But it can still be pretty destructive if you get a whole bunch of it. And this one dumbass decided to get 80 pounds of the shit and use it for... Say it with me. A gender reveal party.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And it ended up rocking several nearby towns when it went off.
Yeah, it got obviously reported to the cops.
As they should have. Some
shit happened. Nobody knows exactly what. Just some obscenely loud noise in their houses shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody tried to reenact this type of thing around my mom and brother's neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my old school chums said, anybody know why everything just shook really, really bad in Farmington? And I was talking to my brother on the phone. It was before he had his nose surgery. And he's like, either meth lab blew up or Tannerite. I'm like, yeah, I'm going meth lab. He said, I'm going Tannerite. He was right.
Yeah.
And if you remember the big wildfire that happened as a result of some gender reveal explosion.
Yep, in California.
Yep. How can we forget?
Yeah, that was in Arizona. But that was Tannerite that was set off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of it was, but it caused over $8 million in damage.
Yep. Although whether it was the actual Tannerite itself or something with the Tannerite that did it, because Tannerite, when it explodes, doesn't really cause a fire per se. It's more like it just expands really quickly. But yeah, either way, if you're going to use Tannerite, use it responsibly, please.
Yeah.
Like manufacturers go through all this fucking effort to make it so that it's not something you can just accidentally set off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have to choose to do dumb shit with it.
Yeah, I was reading the wiki and it's like, it's not even sold as is. It's in like two elements.
Yeah, it's in
two, mix together.
It's in two components. You have to physically mix them together for it to actually become active. So, like, again, even the manufacturers are like, we're trying to make it so that you have to actually go through all of this shit to actually make it work in the first place.
Yeah, can you imagine the amount of placards they would have on the truck hauling that shit if it wasn't in two different pieces?
Yeah.
Jeez.
All right, well...
It'll be crazy.
That's why we kind of need to... just somehow find a way to ban gender reveals. Cause it's
yeah.
Like,
well,
just
see,
tell people. It's not, you don't need to explode shit or anything.
Right? And you know, people always bitch about, oh, government interfering with blah, 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 too many regulations. Blah, blah. Your fucking bubba ass is the reason why.
Yeah. You're the reason we can't have nice things.
Exactly.
Yeah, here's a nice thing. Have a fucking cake made. Make the inside the color of the baby.
Yeah.
Everybody loves cake. It's a win.
And you don't have to blow up anything.
No.
Just takes a couple hours to bake it, and you're good.
Fuck, you don't even have to bake it yourself. You can fucking hire someone to bake it for you.
Right. Just put in the order at Walmart, you know.
If you're especially nice, you might get a relative to make it, and they won't even charge you.
True.
But I'm getting the feeling that a person who goes through this type of shit is the type of person that probably hasn't spoken to any of their relatives in quite some time. At least not by choice.
Probably because they tried to blow their little nephew's arms off for the 4th of July.
Don't you love living and coming from the part of the world we do?
It's definitely an experience.
I love stories about this kind of shit to people who are like from Canada or Vietnam or Europe or...
We have the same dumb fucks up here in suburbia. They just do different dumb fuck things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, moving on from there, we've got our heroes of the week to combat that bad taste in our mouths. And the first great thing to talk about is everybody in the U.S. ages 16 and up will be eligible for the COVID vaccine now, with half of them having received at least one dose so far.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the hero of the week here? The American, well, the sensible part of the American population.
Right.
It's the people sticking them with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we're part of that. So congratulations to us.
Yes.
Of course, technically, I don't actually get my second shot until a couple weeks from now. But hey, I got the first one, so that's worth something. Yeah.
That is absolutely.
So yeah, hooray there. Also, the Senate managed to pass a bill to combat anti-Asian hate crimes, and it was almost fucking unanimous. There was just one fucker who didn't vote for it.
Who?
Josh Hawley.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, his statement here explaining is, my view is it's dangerous to simply give the federal government open-ended authority to define a whole new class of federal hate crime incidents, which is like, you helped lead the insurrection.
Or instigated it.
Yep. How about fuck yourself?
Yeah.
Luckily, there's a bunch of other sensible Republicans there.
Yeah. Also, Vandana Gupta became the first woman of color to become the Associate Attorney General.
Yeah. That's a great thing.
Yeah, she is essentially the third highest seat in the department. Which a lot of the responsibilities for that particular seat, I was looking at the wiki page earlier, that was basically saying like a lot of stuff like civil rights and all this kind of stuff, and she is a well-known civil rights attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So yeah, and but guess who was the second one? This thing started with Jimmy Carter, this particular position.
Mm-hmm.
The second one ever, Reagan's first.
Tell me.
Associate Attorneys General, you know him and love him, Rudolph Giuliani.
Of course.
I don't think I recognize any of these other people.
Mm.
I saw it and I was like, oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Of course he's in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You find out how incredibly incestuous the GOP sort of rogues gallery really is.
Yeah.
But next up, we go to President Biden, who this week acknowledged and publicly stated that the Armenian genocide was a genocide by Turkey.
Yeah, that was especially heartening to see. I don't know if there's going to be any teeth that go along with that. But at least it's said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Turkey state television has been losing its shit. Because, you know, in Turkey, it's actually illegal to call it a genocide.
Well, I mean, there's your first clue that it is a genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have this one woman here, our last hero of the week. She was on Bumble, which is what is Bumble?
It's a dating app.
Yeah, she reported a man that bragged that he was at the Capitol insurrection.
Yeah, they got matched up. And the part of the messaging chain here, I think her side saying those weren't my questions, or those weren't answers to my questions. And he's like, I did storm the Capitol. I made it all the way into Statuary Hall. I did an interview with Robert Omoro of the Washington Post, also did online interview with Jess Brevins of the WSJ. She responded, we are not a match. And he got the last word, I suppose not. But yeah, this guy was like openly bragging about this on his profile with people that got matched with.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a thing that there are a number of women that on Bumble, if they get matched with people that sort of are open about this, they get reported to the FBI.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing. So yeah, she reported this guy to authorities around January 13th, setting up a months-long investigation that culminated in his arrest this past Thursday in his hometown of Carmel, New York. Yeah, four charges, two of knowingly entering or remaining in a restricted building without lawful authority, two of violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. So yeah, that's going to be a fun time for him.
All right. Nice job, dumbass.
Yeah, really. It was like the guy that got arrested with the, while he's wearing a shirt that said, "I was at the Capitol."
Yeah. You start to realize these people really aren't that fucking smart.
No.
But anyway, moving on from there, we now start the proper show proper. And the first story is that the House Dems passed a bill that would grant statehood to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, this is not the first time they did this last year.
Yep.
But obviously they have the people in the Senate to be able to pass this time around.
Theoretically.
I think there's still a few holdouts of people that, for whatever reason, don't think people in the Capitol should get the right to vote.
Yeah.
Fully for things that can actually be done. Because right now, since they are not a state, any laws they pass have to be approved by Congress, which, depending on who's in control, can go either way.
Yeah.
A lot of things like that where the Congress decides like how funding gets distributed for various things. Lots of different things like that. So yeah, that's... hopefully that happens, and not because it adds more Democrats to the Senate or anything. It would still be probably like another, probably till 2022. I think if they would get to vote for senators or anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, people in this country should get the right to vote.
Yeah.
The full right to vote, not just for local stuff, but voting for, you know, things that are going on literally in their town.
I have been hearing that maybe one of the issues they might be having here is constitutional, because the supposedly the Constitution specifically, you know, defines DC as a blah 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 whatever it is now. And I'm one of those people who would be like, okay, then fuck the Constitution. But, you know, it still kind of matters, so.
Yeah.
We'll see where this goes. And, yeah, let's be honest, a lot of the opposition to this, using the Constitution or trying to make, like, an appeal to the Founding Fathers or whatever, let's just be honest what it really is. It's bullshit. I don't want to say racism, but racism is also a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, like the Founding Fathers never intended Washington, D.C. to be a state. Yeah, and I don't give a shit.
Washington, D.C. wasn't even around at the start of this country.
Right? They didn't even know about half of the fucking places that are in the U.S. then.
We literally got the Capitol because of some weird deal that Hamilton made with Jefferson.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what the exact conversation and details of it were. It's all literally just, you know, stuff after stuff they said that both Jefferson and Hamilton said afterwards. And both of their accounts contradict in several places. So, yeah. Anyway. Next up, President Biden is making a new pledge to cut greenhouse gas emissions in the United States by 50% by the end of this decade.
Yeah, this is a big thing. They had a global virtual summit with a bunch of other countries, especially China and Russia, people that we don't have the greatest relationships with, but it was sort of on a topic that everybody could agree on. It's something that needs to be tackled, whether they like each other or not. And Biden was basically talking about because of, you know, lost time as a result of Trump's bullshit. We kind of needed to get more aggressive, saying that, yeah, the getting to a 50-52% reduction in our greenhouse gases emissions by 2030. And yeah, just kind of doubling down on things from the Paris Agreement, but also going further because, you know, things are escalating at this point.
Mm-hmm. And it does kind of feel good that we do actually have someone like an administration that knows it's happening and is actively taking steps to deal with it.
Right?
Yeah.
It feels like almost anything can be done right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of such an action over the past years.
Yeah, and on top of this, there are a bunch of governors that are now urging Biden to start to actually order 100% zero emission car sales by 2035.
Yeah. That would be great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting rid of cars that still run off of gas, that still emit greenhouse gases.
Yeah. Or at the very least, still mostly make it gas.
Like at least hybrid cars, but
yeah,
you would want them to be electrical, especially as most of the manufacturers are wholesale moving over to electric cars.
Yeah, they know which way the market's going. So yeah,
that's part of the infrastructure plan is getting more charging stations out there because they can't just have them be as accessible as gas stations.
Yeah.
You'll probably see a lot of gas stations, you know, move to install those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? They'll be sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you can do. You can sell them food and shit.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
So do you guys have these in your neighborhoods already?
Not that I know where they're at.
Could
probably Google it to find out. I think I Googled it once. It's like a lot of the car dealers have some of them.
Mm.
But I don't know specific places. Like I haven't looked around because I don't have one.
Yeah.
So I don't need to know where they're at yet.
In Macon, I see 3 charging stations total. Well, actually, hold on. Wow. I got a view all here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. No, there's actually more. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. About 12 in total.
Okay. Because, like, here, they have them at Walgreens.
Yeah.
Not all Walgreens. They have them at most of the Best Buys. They're like at the DMV, so you can go and get your transponder for paying tolls.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals, some of the larger places like that. Mm. But like, I'm not seeing them in condo buildings, in townhouse associations. You know, at libraries or at other shopping centers and places where people would go and spend an hour. Yeah. You know, they're not at Walmart. They're not at Target.
Yeah, there'd be some perfect places because, you know, when things start to get back to normal, hey, what about at your local theater?
Yeah.
Exactly. And watch a movie. That's a great idea. While you're there.
Yeah.
Theaters would do well.
Your grocery store, we can go shopping and it should at least be partially charged.
Yeah.
Because theoretically, you only need to have it charged enough to get you to where you're going.
Right.
Because you'll do most of your charging at home.
Yeah. And I guess the slow charging at home where you don't have to have the special, I don't know, docks. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's supposed to be a little bit better on the batteries, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I hear the same thing about phones.
The rapid chargers for phones.
Yeah.
Sometimes can be great.
Now, here's the question. You're wanting to do all that, like at, you know, stores and stuff, but are you going to be able to have enough charging stations to fill a parking lot?
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of work to be done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that I'm pretty sure as long as nobody hits me, I could probably get another 8 years, 10 years out of my car. Because the next car, that's where the decision has to be made.
The thing here is you're quickly realizing is that so much of our infrastructure over the last 70 years has specifically been built around the use of petroleum-powered automobiles. And Yeah.
But that's why we need, you know, the infrastructure funding. The tech around this stuff also has to increase so that, you know, your average store can find ways of putting it in there. Whether they have, you know, like you have specific spots for handicap spots, like specific charging spots, with just having like a little station there you can plug in, that kind of stuff. But also, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be at every single business, but it has to be a lot of the high traffic areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your grocery stores, your theaters, you know, post office, restaurants, that kind of stuff. Places that, you know, people work at.
Mm-hmm.
Could also be good stuff like factories and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows
where it all could be, but, you know, there's a lot of work to do. And we're at the point where, you know, with that infrastructure bill, we could definitely get the funding where people can actually sit down and figure out how to get this stuff sent out and standardized.
Mm-hmm.
In ways that help make everybody's future lives better and prepare for it rather than doing like we usually do and do it at the last minute.
Mm.
Like it's your high school assignment. You're doing it Sunday night.
Yeah, but anyway, we were talking about the infrastructure plan. It's going to be like $2 trillion. That's Biden's proposal. So the GOP decided to come back and present their own counter proposal, which is about $568 billion.
Yeah, I believe the way they said here is the under Biden's plan, the transportation section alone is $53 billion more than the entire GOP plan.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is pushed by, let's see, I don't know who it's pushed by specifically, but it's a 5-year GOP proposal, which is probably not going to get any Dems on their side on this, because it's just a paltry amount. For the plan that Biden's proposing is very aggressive and with mind for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Which the GOP doesn't care about.
No. In fact, at this point, they're basically circling the wagons and slowly turning on each other. Because they are very fast fading into irrelevance. And, well, you'll see. Next up, Senator Bernie Sanders introduced a bill to make college free by taxing Wall Street to pay for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the tax would be... Where is it at here? There it is. Okay. The Tax on Wall Street Speculation Act will levy a 0.5% tax on stock trades, 0.1% fee on bond trades, and a 0.005% fee on derivative transactions. Mm-hmm. That would raise up to $2.4 trillion over the next decade, according to a summary of the bill. So, yeah. And I guess this was also double the maximum Pell Grant award to $12,990.
Oh, wow.
From almost $6,500 for the 21-22 school year.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
Also make Dreamers eligible for the loans. Sure that students could use the money for living arrangements and other non-tuition expenses.
Mm-hmm.
It would also boost funding for programs that help low-income children, those with disabilities, and first-generation college students.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, now how much you want to bet this is actually going to pass?
These are good things to ask for, though.
Yeah, they're good things to ask for, and I absolutely would want them to go through. And if I thought they would go through, I would absolutely love them to go through. But we have a pseudo-majority in Senate, and, well, as we've already seen, some of the Democratic senators are assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, and I guess part of this, the bill says the federal government would shoulder 75% of the cost of free college at public schools, with states paying the remainder. In the event of an economic downturn, the federal government's share would increase to 90%. So yeah, the taxes on the Wall Street stuff would help pay for all of that.
Mm-hmm. Want it. Need it. All right, and... next up, some good news. Johnson & Johnson vaccinations have now resumed.
Yep. So just that... with the warning about the potential blood clot risk.
Which happened to, like, what, 6 or 7 people?
Correct.
Something like that, yeah. So it's like probably people that maybe have more risk of that would probably be recommended to take another vaccine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that happened. Cal and Cal State Systems require convenient COVID-19 vaccinations for in-person fall classes. That should be a no-brainer.
Yeah. I assume more schools and school systems will take advantage of those requirements.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be fun to see. Obviously, there's going to be the weirdos out there complaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I assume they would still allow for the virtual sessions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But people have to do this stuff anyway when they go to colleges with immunization documents, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just like, just update what you got.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, yeah. Now we're going to Apple. Apple's going to let Parler back on its app store, but it has to have changes to its moderation policies.
That's an interesting way to do that.
Yeah.
They might be playing a long game here where they're looking for Parler to run out of funds to, you know, to keep up with all the new regulations they're going to put on them and then just wait for them to totally fold.
It's possible. I mean, this is Apple we're talking about, and they are nothing devious.
And they're fucking hard as hell to deal with the App Store.
Yeah, but, yeah. And let's be honest, Parler already sucks on its surface. I mean, already the shit with, like, you know, the reputation already has, just actually trying to fucking sign up for it is already a nightmare.
Hey, you gotta take a picture of your goddamn driver's license.
Yeah.
Yep.
And are they supposed to be the whack jobs that are all privacy, privacy, blah, 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 blah. Yep. And they're scanning their goddamn driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Dissonance.
Yeah. Anyway, now to some science news. NASA's Ingenuity helicopters made the first powered flight on another planet.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like a small little helicopter, but yeah, it's a 4-pound helicopter, rose about 10 feet in the air, hovered briefly, and returned to the Martian surface.
Yep.
They have image that was taken from the helicopter itself, sort of black and white, but another one from the Perseverance rover that was nearby.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was about 60 feet away. Yeah, so the first rotorcraft has been flown on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was pretty neat to see.
Yeah. It's basically like the first powered flight on another planet since the first power flight happened here on Earth with the Wright. So, yeah, pretty amazing. Speaking of amazing, NASA's Mars rover made oxygen from Martian atmosphere. Now, it didn't make much.
Yeah.
But it made it.
But yeah, the Martian atmosphere is about 95% carbon dioxide. The remainder is mostly nitrogen and argon.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the... let's see, the way it extracted carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, then electrochemically split oxygen atoms from the carbon dioxide molecules.
Mm.
Yeah, sort of a part of tests that they're doing about being able to gather sort of an ample supply of oxygen for people coming from Earth. Yeah. And I think part of that is also is like a fuel sort of thing. Mm. Yeah, this instrument is called MOXIE, Mars Oxygen In Situ Resource Utilization Experiment, which superheated the carbon dioxide to cleave it chemically, producing about 5 grams of pure oxygen, about enough for an astronaut to breathe for 10 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a critical first step at converting carbon dioxide to oxygen on Mars. And they hope that this sort of technique can be scaled up to produce enough oxygen for future human flights to Mars. A group of four astronauts on the Red Planet require an estimated 1 metric ton of oxygen between them to last an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're kind of just testing this stuff and seeing how they can kind of expand it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the oxygen can also be used in combination with rocket fuel to propel rockets returning to Earth.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
So, yeah.
And awesome. So now we're moving on to the entertainment portion of the show. And first story for that is the next round of Jeopardy guest hosts includes LeVar Burton.
Yeah, it's been the big internet thing, people wanting LeVar Burton
mm-hmm.
to be on the show because he is, you know, hugely popular from stuff like Reading Rainbow.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Other stuff. He was on Roots. So, yeah he's been around a while.
Yeah, and he's very much been in support of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sort of also, see, his episodes will air the week of July 26th.
All right.
Also coming around this time frame, George Stephanopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Roberts.
Mm.
Let's see. Oh, David Faber. He's a former celebrity Jeopardy champ. And 3-time National Sportscaster of the Year award winner, Joe Buck.
Mm.
Who people have lots of feelings about or opinions about. Generally negative.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I think that's going to be the end of the season there.
Yep.
I presume that at some point after that, they will figure out who the regular host will be.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Certainly shouldn't be Dr. Oz because everybody hated him.
Yeah. And let's see. Next up, Disney and Sony signed a massive movie deal to bring Spider-Man and others to Disney Plus.
Yeah, this follows up on a deal that they announced a couple weeks ago for Netflix,
mm-hmm.
that would bring their titles to Netflix first up after the theatrical run.
Yeah.
This Disney deal covers subsequent TV windows, which I guess the cover like when it would usually come to, you know, the networks on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That that will be Disney Plus, it seems.
Yep.
And yeah, this deal goes through 2026 theatrical slate. Calls for Sony titles to run across Disney's array of streaming and linear platforms. Yeah, covering Disney Plus, Hulu, FX Networks, ABC, Disney Channels, and Freeform. Includes a significant number of library titles we spread among various outlets.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu will gain access to what Disney describes as a significant number of library titles starting in June.
Mm.
So yeah. It only covers the U.S. market, so Sony's making a lot of money off of their catalog from these different services.
Yeah.
Especially just for the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They'll bring some of the Spider-Man stuff to Disney Plus eventually.
Mm-hmm.
People will be able to have more readily available access to that stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see that happening. Also in, because we got a couple of bits of Marvel news, there's a new Captain America movie, and it's being directed by the showrunner of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, not to spoil too much about the way the show ends, but things progress to the point where there is a new Captain America.
Yeah.
That will be sort of assuming what the next movie will be focusing on. So yeah, definitely watch the show if you want to find out more about that stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, that is pretty interesting. I don't know when this is going to hit anytime soon, but it ends in a way it's like, okay, this is going to be pretty interesting to see how how this plays out for the proper MCU
mm-hmm. movies. All right. And let's see, what else have we got? We got a teaser trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which is a big deal because it's, I'm pretty sure this is like the first major Marvel like presentation either on film or television to have a Asian lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the trailer looks pretty good. It looks like a, you know, very much a high budget martial arts movie.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good action there, so definitely worth watching that if you haven't. It's going to be out September 3rd in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can check it out.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, even though I don't really know what the overall plot is, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll find out. There's mm-hmm. time for more trailers to actually yeah. add story stuff to this.
Yeah. Shang-Chi is a sort of like, is a property from Marvel that came into existence in the 70s. And it's been around for a while, actually. It's just, it's kind of like a cult property in Marvel's overall, you know, universe that doesn't all, yeah, you know, it kind of comes out and then it kind of doesn't. It yeah. basically came into existence during the whole Kung Fu craze in the 70s. So, yeah, I think Jim Starlin, the guy who created Thanos, had a hand in creating that series. But also, finally, last story for the night, we got a trailer for Hulu's MODOK show.
Yeah, which looks really fun.
Oh, yes.
It very much kind of has a Robot Chicken kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a higher budget version of that.
Yeah.
Because they are definitely playing this off as kind of a comedy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's MODOK. How can you take that fucking character seriously?
Yeah, that's kind of what they go for in this.
Mm.
And I think it's Patton Oswalt that's voicing him.
Yeah, and it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Lots of fun with mm-hmm. Just disappointing him and him just killing him, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's looks like it's going to be a fun one. I think it starts May 21st, it says here,
mm-hmm.
just for Hulu.
Mm.
So yeah, the first kind of bit of Marvel stuff that's not on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Immediately after they raised the price.
Yeah! Because of fucking course they did. Because it's still Disney.
Yeah.
They'll give you all the wonderful shit and then say, oh yeah, we're also jacking up our prices.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. I do believe we do. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you at the bottom of the show notes. Also, on top of Buffalo Podcast, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Play, RSS, archive.org. Pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if not, if you can't find us, just wait a little while. We'll get there eventually. We're kind of like herpes that way. Just going to let that ferment for a little bit. Anyway, this has been Let's Weekend. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Teresa Sammons and Chris Saloggi, I'd like to say good night, sleep tight, and please, for the love of everything that's holy, get your fucking vaccine.